Now, in the days before and after Detroit filed for bankruptcy, you didn't have to look very far to read and hear comments about Detroit that ranged from dumb to mean-spirited to outright vicious. One has to wonder, for instance, just why did actor John Hamm of AMC's Mad Men have to take a shot at Detroit while hosting the ESPY Awards last week, talking about San Francisco beating the Tigers in the World Series?
They swept the Detroit Tigers in four games. Now, I've been to Detroit. Frankly, it's about if somebody swept that place.
And why did a coworker flying back to Detroit from an out-of-town visit hear the guys in the plane row behind her discussing the Detroit bankruptcy to be summed up by one man declaring, "I wish we could just dump Detroit into the lake. We'd all be so much better off." A Detroit Free Press reader comment on the website, "Way to go, Motown. We knew you could do it. Now everybody gets nothing." And the Twitter sphere is very busy mocking the Motor City. Just check out hashtag New Detroit City mottos. We wanted to go deeper into these attitudes. What would things like this be said if it was Chicago or Atlanta having to file for bankruptcy? How far back does this scorn for Detroit reach? And how much of this attitude permeates the halls of Congress? We're joined now by Michigan Radio's political analyst, Jack Lessenberry. And joining us from the Detroit Free Press Washington Bureau is Todd Spangler. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Does it seem that this bankruptcy filing has taken the slam Detroit cracks to a new level, or are some of us just feeling defensive since making history this way?
Well, I think we're defensive. Detroit's been a punching bag for a long time. I think a lot worse was being said at the worst of the Kwame Kilpatrick crisis. But one advantage to being old is that you have some perspective. And I can remember when New York flirted with this in the 1970s, the famous headline, "President Ford, the city dropped dead." There are all sorts of jokes about New York on the rocks. But of course, Detroit has been, you know, there's been a lot of unfortunate news out of Detroit for a long time. And it's a good butt for comedians.
Do either of you think that if it was, say, San Francisco or Atlanta filing right now for bankruptcy, we'd be hearing some guy on the plane saying, "I wish we could just dump San Francisco into the bay"?
Yes, I think that if they were filing for bankruptcy, if they were to follow Detroit's example, I think you'd hear certain people saying sort of things like that. But like Jack said, this has been going on with Detroit for a long time. It's been decades in the making. For whatever advances have happened, the auto industry has come back. It hasn't translated to Detroit in any great way, and that's why everybody uses it as a punching bag.
I remember in 1989 hearing a comedian saying something like, "We just need another earthquake to hit San Francisco again and finish the job." So I don't think Detroit's unique in this aspect.
Okay, I want to throw out a couple of comments that here's one from a reader on the Detroit Free Press website. Here's the quote. "Detroit born and raised, Pershing High grad, watched the ineptitude over many years as Detroiters voted to protect our turf against, quote, Whitey. Finally got what you voted for. Hope you make better choices in the future." Or here is a viewer comment on WDIV's website. "Pick a city, any city where Detroiters are in charge. If not already bankrupt, it's only a matter of time. It has nothing to do with anything other than inferiority, intellectual, and aesthetic." To both of you, is this white America looking at the string of black Detroit leaders and expressing pure racism that's thinly disguised as criticism of the city?
The second one, for sure.
And how did it become okay for that to be out there for the world to see? Is it because of the internet and you can just dump this stuff out there?
Absolutely. I think that it's become very cheap for people to express all kinds of opinions. I don't think that that's anything really new. But you can't take that as a cross section of how people really believe either. Some of these comments that you're mentioning about whether Detroit brought this on themselves and whatnot. I mean, sure, to a certain degree, you know, bad governance, bad management in the city certainly did help this along, no question about it. But there's no way to look at what's going on with Detroit and not know that the decades of flight from the city, the fact that the city and the suburbs have not really worked together, that the state has not really been a full partner in trying to help the city, that bears a lot of the consequence here too.
Oh, absolutely. And some of this goes back to a time when there were white mayors. So it's, you know, but yeah, I agree totally. The internet in many ways has been a bad thing because anybody can anonymously stick anything on the internet they want to say.
And we end up taking it as if it's representative of a larger sort of thought when often it's not.
Well, it is interesting what you had pointed. Both of you pointed out this goes back to white leaders. The historical roots go back to white mayors and white leaders. But certainly the general public who's issuing these kinds of comments obviously does not get that.
Sure, I think that whether it's the general public or not, really, you could argue that one way or another. It's just very easy for people to put opinions out there, and it's empowering to folks. So they do it, and often they say, I often wonder how much people really mean with what they say. Often they're trying to be glib. They're trying to make a comment that it's hard to find even them believing sometimes. I can't tell you the number of Greece comments that about the fact that Detroit's another example of Greece that I've seen in the last several days. It's people trying to be clever in a lot of cases, whether the facts match up with it or not.
Now, you also, I think, have to remember, of course, race is always with us. That's always a factor. But Detroit is sort of a unique city in that it really was a small town for most of its existence during the Depression, during the automotive era. Hundreds of thousands of people flooded in. The city grew by sixfold in population, and then these people moved out again. So, and everybody has their own mythical image of what Detroit should be, the mythical Detroit. And since today's Detroit is not like that, they pile on the people who are there.
That was Jack Lessenberry, Michigan Radio's political analyst, joined by Todd Spangler, D.C.-based reporter for the Detroit Free Press. This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Continuing now our conversation with Jack Lessenberry, our political analyst, and Todd Spangler, D.C.-based reporter for the Detroit Free Press, as we explore the attitudes, both statewide and nationally, about Detroit and the bankruptcy filing. Todd, to you now. It makes me wonder, just how is Detroit, the city, its problems, viewed by Congress, both the Michigan delegation, but also in other states?
Well, among the delegation, I think it's viewed very carefully in much the same way it's viewed at the state level. The you could see last week when word of the bankruptcy came down that really, the comments from the delegation came very slowly, if at all. I'm still waiting to hear something from Congressman Dingell and something from Sandy Levin. I mean, people you would expect to have had something to say. It's people realize that Detroit has had this fiscal problem brewing for a long, long time, and now that they've taken this step, they're not surprised. They don't necessarily want to jump on any given bandwagon yet. There's a lot of sort of, you know, keeping their powder dry to see how this is going to play out politically as well as in court. I think that's why you see the Obama administration essentially taking a hands-off approach at this moment as well. I think from Detroit is seen as, you know, as a problem, as a place where bad governance has not served the people well, as a place where money has been lost through corruption and through waste. And you know, that's not something that people in Michigan, I think, are necessarily proud of here. They love to point at the resurgence of the auto industry, for instance, but when it comes to how city governments run, it's not something that people are proud of in D.C.
This is also a very, very complicated situation, and the Free Press deservedly won a Pulitzer Prize for exposing Kwame Kilpatrick's corruption, but that was relatively simple. The economic complexity is so great that I'm not convinced anybody understands it.
I couldn't agree more.
It is interesting as far as comments or lack thereof from our congressional delegation. One might understand why Republicans would perhaps tread lightly. It seems surprising that Democratic war horses like Sandy Levin and John Dingell have been silent.
I think the opposite. Go ahead, Todd.
No, I was going to say that when you look at what happened with the Chrysler and General Motors bailout, it's not so surprising. I mean, in those cases, you had Governor Granholm and Senator Levin basically saying, don't let these companies go bankrupt. If you even attach the word bankruptcy to these companies, they'll never sell another car. Well, obviously, that's not what happened. I mean, they found a way to do it and do it right. I think you see a certain amount of people saying, we don't have funds to give you. This Congress is not going to pass legislation that's going to bail out Detroit. So you have to see how this bankruptcy is going to play. Is there a plan in place? And besides that, it's very, very difficult. The bankruptcy court is not going to restructure the city government. They're not going to tell the city that it has to have this kind of governance structure or these kind of people running it. And barring that, you know, you may get rid of debt, but you may end up with the same situation after this happens, unless the state takes steps to fix that.
The other problem is, and Todd's exactly right, at the end of the day with the GM and Chrysler bankruptcies, they had a product to sell. They had vehicles to sell. Detroit may be shorn of its debt, but it's not clear what it has to make it economically viable going forward.
You touched on, Todd, the fact that the White House has been very quiet about this. And the Free Press had Stephen Henderson's big front page story on Sunday's paper. Why is the White House so aloof? You had Vice President Biden the day after the filing saying, we don't know how the federal government can help Detroit. Does anyone think they would be saying that if Chicago was in financial ruin? Jack?
I'm not sure. It would depend on the nature of Chicago. It depends on, first of all, it's not clear what they can do. I mean, what are they going to do? You have to go through the bankruptcy process. No one is in their right mind suggesting that the federal government give Detroit $19 billion to take care of the unfunded liabilities and then continue with the same governance structure. So I think if Chicago was in this kind of shape for the same reasons, you'd have an identical response. It's not to say that down the line the president may not do something, but he's sensitive to a lot of realities. And the fact is, Republicans control the House of Representatives. That's the House where all sort of economic bills have to originate, and they're not going to do diddly squat for Detroit.
Well, I'd also remember that, you know, back in 2008, when legislation went before a Democratic House and Senate to try to bail out the car companies, it didn't pass. It failed.
Exactly.
It took you know, a Republican president to take TARP, a bill created for something else, and say, we're going to take some of this money, bridge this over to the new president, Obama comes in, and then let him decide. And even then, he was very close to letting Chrysler go and insisted on seeing plans, a couple different iterations of plans from these companies before he said, okay, we're willing to fund this. I mean, I think they have a certain ground game that allows them to say, wait a second, we're not going to just start throwing money at this. Let's see what happens in bankruptcy court. Let's see if there's a plan to move forward. I think you'll see some sort of help from the federal government at some point. What that is remains to be seen, but that's going to be in large part measured by what is the city's plan going forward.
I think also to touch on something you said, Cindy, politically, this is actually much harder for Democrats. Republicans can sort of bash Detroit with impunity. They don't get any votes there. Snyder got 5% there, and that's better than most of them do. Whereas Democrats, it's very delicate. If they alienate Detroit voters, they have no prayer of winning a close statewide election in Michigan. So they have a difficult line to walk.
This does raise some interesting questions, though, for the governor's race and the U.S. Senate race next year, I would think, though, because how does Oakland County, how does Macomb County look at this vis-a-vis Snyder? I mean, I find that a fascinating political question.
What do you think, Jack?
I think that Todd's exactly right, and we don't know exactly how that's going to play out. Now, it used to be, of course, that Macomb and Oakland County politicians won elections by bashing Detroit, but there's much more of a sense that everybody's in this all together. Oakland County has been trending Democratic more and more. It voted for Snyder, certainly, but in presidential elections, it no longer votes Republican. And I think that everybody's going to be pretty cautious about this. This is not the 1970s when Brooks Patterson and Coleman Young threw pies at each other every time either of them ran for office.
Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lessenberry. We're also speaking with Detroit Free Press Washington, D.C. reporter Todd Spangler. Jack, can these critics, if we want to say the word haters, can they be won over and convinced to take another more constructive look at Detroit? And if so, how would that happen?
Some of them are going to not be confused by reality at all, but I think it's going to depend on how this bankruptcy how this goes forward, how this is structured, what the plans are for getting out of it, what's revealed, who takes the worst kind of hit. There's so many unresolved questions. I'm certainly not a lawyer, but even the lawyers say there's a lot of things they don't know about. And again, a lot of these people became the sensible people, the sort of sensible center, don't feel the same way they did about Detroit in the 1970s and 1980s. A lot of these people admire Mayor Bing, admired Mayor Archer, and there's a lot of residual goodwill for Detroit. So I think there's going to, at some point, cooler heads are going to say, we really need to worry about fixing the problem, not the blame.
I just think that this is going to end up, I think that the idea of the bankruptcy and shedding some of this debt is going to be very painful for a lot of people, but could ultimately help the city's finances, put it in a good place. But inevitably, the state and Southeast Michigan politicians have to look at the fact that, do they want this to be a city that the state can be proud of, and that it is a is not a liability but a positive going forward. If they were to move in that direction, create some kind of regional authority, maybe merge, maybe just make some kind of political changes that could help it going forward, then this will be a good thing. If those things don't happen, who knows?
I'd go out on a limb here and say something I've said for a long time, and an urbanologist believes that the only long-term solution is to merge Detroit and Wayne County. There's a lot of political resistance to that, but the legislature could do that by simply passing a law. Cities are the creation of a legislature. In other places, that has worked pretty well, and this might be an opportune time, given post-bankruptcy, given the fact that Wayne County hasn't been doing too well itself, certainly from a governmental perspective. At some point, you're going to have, if not a complete merger, more and more regionalism. We're seeing that with a rapid bus service, but the idea that Detroit is some kind of a self-sufficient, totally autonomous island is remarkably stupid, whether white conservatives or militant black folks in the city are uttering it.
That was Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lessenberry, and he was joined from Washington by Detroit Free Press D.C. reporter Todd Spangler. As always, gentlemen, you've given us lots to chew over. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.